We'll discuss a minyani hadlokas near Shabbos. Since we spoke about, the parasha spoke about hadlokas neiros beis hamikdash, and since at the moment we're not involved in that, so we'll pick more a lamaisa topic. So what's the inyan of hadlokas near Shabbos? So we know they're different in inyanim. Why you light candles? Either they bring down the concept of, it could be Kavod Shabbos, Oneg Shabbos, maybe both. As the Vilna Gaon explained, Kavod is the things you do to prepare for Shabbos. All the preparations you make, cleaning the house, preparing the food. Oneg is what you're doing b'shas ma'aseh, you're enjoying the food at the meal. And as well, there's a concept of a shalom bayis. That they say, you know, Shalom Beso, the Gemara talks about that we need light in the house because we want you to be on, we want you to have a peaceful Shabbos, Shabbat Shalom. And we know there's nothing worse, I guess there are things worse, but it's not a good situation when you're walking around in the dark, you stub your toe, and then you take it out on everyone else in the room. Misplaced aggression, as they call it in psychology, that you walk in and they blow up at you. So therefore, we know light generally creates a more peaceful, tranquil environment. So that's also an inyan of light in Canada. In fact, it's an interesting Ramban in actually Parshas Naso, where he talks about the concept of the Mei Sota, about the waters of the Sota, the woman's suspected of committing adultery. So whatever, skipping the whole process, so there's a drink a woman can take at the end, and if she drinks it and she lives, they live happily ever after, and they have another kid, and if not, let's say it doesn't end well. So part of the process of the drink is that you have to take the Shem Hashem and erase it. You put it into, so it involves the prohibition of Mechikas Hashem, of destroying God's name. So the Ramban points out, we have something that's pretty unique here. That, see, it's not a poison drink where if you drink it, like, you're going to die from. It's just not a nice tasting drink, but there's no poison in it. You're not going to die from the drink, Derech HaTeva. So if you're going to die from the drink, it's because a nace happened, not because the food, that's not a nace. If you drink poison, you're going to die. The nace is if you don't die. So the Ramban points out, usually we know there's a concept of mitzvah, and we believe in both. We believe in the concept of mitzvahs, and we believe in the concept that God can do nisim, miracles. And the two, you know, they're usually mutually exclusive. In other words, a mitzvah means I'm doing it. A mitzvah means God's doing it. Like, there's no, like, for God to make a miracle and put tefillin on me, okay, what's the big deal? Like I'm not doing anything. If he's going to just give me credit for the mitzvah of tefillin, like doing a nace, it doesn't make any sense. The whole point, I mean, you know, you could have other nasim, how I get the tefillin, this and that, but the bottom line is, usually miracles and mitzvahs do not go hand in hand. So the Ramban points out there seems to be an exception to the rule. Part of the mitzvah of Mei Sotah is it's Derech Nes, that the Derech Nes if the woman dies. So from the drink. So we don't usually find nisim together with mitzvahs. So why is this an exception to the rule? So the Ramban writes, because of the concept of shalom bayis. Now, there's many issues, obviously. If a woman is suspected of committing adultery, there's clearly, among many things, a trust issue. Obviously, no matter what, you could go to the rabbi, the psychiatrist, and whatever, you, they don't know. Like, could they give 100% that it's not true? Like, they could tell you it's unlikely, like no one, you know, unless they were there. And obviously, if they're saying she didn't do it, how could you say someone didn't do it? Well, you followed them around 24/7. So it's not a matter of, like, you can't say anything with absolute certainty. And there's a lack of trust that reaches a certain level, and no matter, there's nothing you could say anymore. Like, their marriage is over, or not forget a marriage, a business partnership, a relationship. If you don't trust the other person, so then that's the end of it. So obviously you try to bring back trust, but if you're in a stage of a relationship where there's no bringing back trust, so it's over. So too here. Usually by the time you get to the Mesota, that's basically going to be over. Like even, because obviously she doesn't trust them. So what? I don't trust the test. You know, maybe she worked the system. You'll find out with some, you know, it was rigged. You'll find something to say why, if you believe in something, that's it. No, so therefore, the only way to change the person's mind is if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives testimony that, don't worry, your wife is innocent. So then, you know, I guess if you're doing the Mesota, you must believe in God and the Torah. So therefore, if God's giving testimony that this woman becomes pregnant and you live at, so obviously, if God's telling me she didn't do it, then okay. Then I'm willing to trust her again, because then I know for sure that, you know, only God can give testimony. Only He knows everything. So therefore, the Ramban writes, since the only way to get back Ish v'Ishto is through a nes, so normally we don't do a nes together with the mitzvah, but here the only way to bring it back is, it's not the nes itself, but the fact that now you could trust your wife again, or, you know, the spouses could trust one another. So therefore, that's why we perform the nes. So there's only time, or one of the few times, that we find a miracle together with the mitzvah. Somebody asked me, what about Shemitah? We read a couple of weeks ago, V.C.S. Birkasi, that we have a avtacha that if you don't work the land during Shemitah, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you a bracha. In the sixth year, you'll have a couple of years crop, etc. I see, isn't that... So number one, that's a haftacha, that's not a nes. And then by a nes, it's the Ramban Lushitasso. By a nes, what's the difference between a nes and teva? As the Ramban himself writes, there's no difference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything's a nes. Everything's the same, nes or teva. But something that happens often, we call it teva. Something happens once in a while, we call a nes. So therefore, like when the Jews traveled in the Midbar, so then Marmei Shamayim was normal. But when they went to Eretz Yisrael and Yeshua said, you got to plant, they said, what? Are you kidding me? From a tree, from a wheat, you're going to have all this growing? So they weren't used to it. Similarly with us, if we got Marmei Shamayim, we took that as a miracle. Like I said, always say, if you're an editor of a newspaper, the Chazal tell us a baby born is a greater nes than Tchiyas HaMesim. Yet, if you put up the headline, baby born, you'll be out of a job the next day. But if you write, resurrection of the dead happened, wow, people are going to be interested. Because it's something that doesn't happen. As Chazal tell us, it's a greater nes to a child is created from nothing, a tipa srucha, as opposed to at least tchias amesim, the body is there already, you just got to revive it. So we see, so that's what the Ramban writes, that everything's a nes, but he means a nes. So by the Mesota, it'll be a nes that she would die from drinking this potion, like there's nothing in the potion that would cause her to die. And of course, you know, even if she's getting the woman pregnant, but I assume they have to live together to get her pregnant. God's not saying, I'll make you pregnant, like, you know, on the spot. In contrast to here, it's Derech HaTeva. We're saying, Yavavtach, if you follow the laws of the Torah, God will take care of you. It, as I say, it's not like, I'd say, when you say the 48 war, 67, so everyone says all the miracles happened, and maybe they did, I'm not doubting that, but what I mean is when miracles happen, as I explained, It's not that they took a machine gun and then a monster came out and ate up the enemy. That's a nace. I mean, a nace, nace. Yeah, a nace, I agree, a nace happened. You're outnumbered, all these different things, but it happened within Derech HaTeva. The Israeli army fought the war like they would a normal war. And, you know, obviously, the fact they have good training, they had a good army, that, you know, that doesn't hurt. I'm saying is, but God did the nace within Derech HaTeva. So that's a big, so the Ramban probably means a nace, mimalo mi Derech HaTeva, when he says a nace. So nevertheless, that's what, so we see the importance of Shalom Bayis, that even, you know, he's God's willing to do Mechikas Hashem to save Ben Ish L'Ishto. And it's not just the Ramban, a nice drasha on a pasuk in Chumash, but it's the Gemara in Shabbos in the second perek, which talks about the power of Shalom Bayis, Shalom Beiso. That's a halachic issue. The Gemara, fortunately, it's not a 21st century Shaila, and maybe not even a 20th century Shaila, but when there were many times in Jewish history, not just the Jews, but the people were afflicted with poverty. In fact, I think they say, whether it's 100 years ago, 150 years ago, whatever, is more people died from starvation. Today, more people die from obesity than they do start. Again, at least in the developed world, I'm not sure about like the non-developed world. Today, you know, the problem is people die more from eating too much than not enough, than not eat, being able to eat. But even that, you know, even that, I think during Rav Kook's time, when they talk about the Heta Mechira, people were dying even when, forget about the Heta Mechira, people were dying when they even weren't planting because there wasn't enough food. So it was, you know, it was a different shaila than, you know, whether the answer could still be yes or no. But I'm just saying is then it was a pikuach nefesh type shaila. So obviously if it was real pikuach nefesh, then there wouldn't be a discussion anyway. If it's pikuach nefesh, then yeah, everyone would agree you plant on Shemitah. The shaila is, well, you know, whether it's not absolute pikuach nefesh anymore. You have to come up with different. That's when we discuss Heta Mechira. We could discuss that more. So nevertheless, the Gemara talks about someone who only has enough money for near, for wine for Kiddush, near Hanukkah, or near Shabbos. So the Gemara says Pshita. It's obvious. If you only have enough money for one, near Shabbos wins because of Shalom Beiso. So we see how important Shalom Bayis is, that, again, we assume, I think the Bahag and Yireya might write near Shabbos is Doraisa. We paskin it's Durabanan. Well, near Chanukah is definitely Durabanan, a pure Durabanan. Kiddush, Alayayin, so that's the Kiddush itself is clearly biblical. The question is what a Kiddush Alayah, in fact, that's the Shaila in the Rishonim. Why would Shalom Bayis, why would Nir Shabbos, which is only Durabanan, beat out of the rites of Kiddush? So that's what some answer, because Kiddush Alayah is only Durabanan, and therefore, you have all Durabanan, so Shalom Bayis wins. But Pasha Shalom Bayis wouldn't win it versus a mitzvah in our Torah, Pasha, some would say. Or maybe some will argue, no, we see from the Meisota, that even it's not the same case, but we see God's willing to violate Mechikas Hashem. I violate, it's okay. He's letting his name be destroyed, which ordinarily would be a Issa Daraisa to save a family. So maybe you could say better to do near Chanukah, which will, you know, it's about five steps removed. The fact you don't have lights in your house doesn't mean you're getting divorced. You just have to work a little harder at Shalom Bayis when it's dark, but not that it can't be done. That's how they explain. What do you mean? The whole week there's a mitzvah of Shalom Bayis. Like, you're telling me, so how come it only wins on Shabbos then? Let's say I need lights in my house on Tuesday night. However, then it must be that, of course, Shalom Bayis wins, but on Friday night, near Shabbos, Chova. So I have to light the Shabbos. So I have a mitzvah to light Shabbos candles. During the week, there's no chovah. So if I have a chovah of near Chanukah, the Chov of near Hanukkah overrides the ideal situation of Shalom Bayis. Obviously, you can't have Shalom Bayis without lights. It's more difficult, so we tell you to work harder during the week. You know, and you can work harder finding lights. At least you can light something if you find, go out and find another candle, or like, you know, or even if you can't, make sure, work on your midos that you'll be able to have Shalom Bayis. So be it as it may, we see that Shalom Bayis, Pashas, this beats other Darabbanans. Perhaps one wants to argue, maybe even Friday night Shalom Bayis, maybe even will beat a Daraisa, maybe you'll argue. But Pashas, it's only beating another Darabbanan, according to the other Rishonim. Like, and then it's only Kiddush, even though it's a strong, if it's a stronger Darabbanan, because anytime you have a mitzvah Darabbanan, that part of the mitzvah is Daraisa, that's also on a higher level than a pure Darabbanan. You know, whatever, even if Friday night candles is Midivrei Kabbalah, the Karasigo Shabbos Oneg, it's still not a Daraisa. So however, that's a whole discussion, why Shalom, we can discuss what's the lumdus, why Shalom Bayis wins. The bottom line is, it's Pshita, it wins. So what do we see? It's a halacha concept. That Shalom Bayis isn't just like a nice drusha from the Ramban. Look, it involves a miracle, but we see it's a real din. The real din that you even light Shabbos candles instead of wine for Kiddush because of the importance of this principle of Shalom Bayis. As we say, and so if Shalom Bayis, if we permit Mechikas Hashem for Shalom Bayis, so again, it's an extension, but along the same lines, it's a couple of steps removed. We see, in order to prevent even coming to that scenario, you know, a gzeira in a positive way, as opposed to a gzeira, you know, using to a gzeira that you might violate in aveira. So I guess also you go with the light in order to keep yourself nice and calm. So we see them. So we see that's one of the aspects of near Shabbos is Shalom Bayis. And in fact, based on this, besides the halacha lemaisa I just gave, but that's a whole discussion about, let's say, electric lights. Let's say Friday night. Am I allowed to use electric lights instead of candles to fulfill my mitzvah of Halakha's Neir HaShabbos? So clearly the minhag is, if you have flames, people do it. Let's say, whatever, let's say you don't like fire in your house. Or let's say you're in a hospital, you're in a place, a nursing home, a hospital, they don't let you light fire. Whatever the Hechad Timsa is, you can't, you don't want to light flames, or you can't. So according to some, you know, there are those who don't like, Ramosha didn't like electric lights. And when it came out, there was a big tumult in the post-game. Today, I'd say it's widely accepted that you can use electric lights, but Ramosha wouldn't say, Ramosha would tell you not to make a bracha. He was against the whole thing. But I'd say the consensus view is today, most assume you could use electric lights. Again, no one's saying not to use Hadalaka's near, but in a situation, let's say, where you can't, everyone agrees in a situation where it's mutter and you use it. Now, obviously, a fire is good. That's not a discussion. The question is, does lighting electric lights have the same status as Hadalaka's near? Or does it have to be? So I said the consensus view is you could use electric lights. So that's what people do. When they go to a hotel or they're in a hospital, they turn on a light. Let's assume at this point we're talking about an incandescent light, which isn't simple to get these days. But let's assume an incandescent light, that's a burning filament. So therefore, that's similar, the post can say, to an Aish. As in contrast to LED or fluorescent, which are, they work differently. So different posts can say, yes, you could. And in fact, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, he used to tell his wife when they went to a hotel, because there's separate issues of lighting downstairs, you can't light in your room. Lighting downstairs in the dining room with hundreds of other people, that's a separate issue, whether you're gaining anything, whether that's a bracha of atola, whether you can light. But so he used to tell his wife, turn on a light in the bathroom, or, you know, maybe if you have a luxury hotel suite where you have other rooms, whatever, where it won't prevent you from sleeping. And then, you know, either you can walk out, you can then walk out of the bathroom and make the bracha. Then Rav Yaakov told, then you could go down and make a bracha on the candles and have in mind it's also going on the light in the room. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik says person should do, not just when you're in a hotel, you should do it every Friday night, anytime. Male, female, whoever's lighting Friday night candles. Today, the ikar is the electric light. That's how we basically get our light from. The candles don't give us much light practically. So Rav Soloveitchik was the opinion, I don't know if he went so far to say it's a bracha of atala, but he was in the opinion that he said what you should do is, before you light Shabbos candles, you should go around the house, any light you don't want on, shut them off. But any light you want on, you should shut them off and turn them on l'shem Shabbos. And then the woman, man, whoever's lighting candles, then when he makes the bracha, they should have in mind to go on the electric, because the electric's the key. You're not really getting any light from the candles. If you're in a room full of electricity, you're not really getting light from the candles. So he says, one should dafka shut off the lights and turn... That's 2 days in Tosfos. Tosfos discusses a flame. Let's say you have a light going in your home and then Shabbos is coming. Could I just let it light? Or do I have to shut it, blow it out or relight it? So that's 2 days in Tosfos. I think the Ramah goes with the day that says you dafka have to blow it out and then relight it. And then you can make a bracha. Other sheets knows you can just let the candle light, whether he writes you can make a bracha or not. But either way, so that's the lechatchila anyway, and maybe the bidyevit according to some, that you need a maisa hadlaka when it comes to near Shabbos. It can't be that the light's just on before Shabbos. You got to do an act of hadlaka. So therefore, Rav Soloveitchik says you should shut off all the lights and turn them on l'shem Shabbos, and then she should light the candles. And therefore you fulfill that's the appropriate way. Not just when you're in a hospital or in a hotel, electric lights are the primary mitzvah today. So as I said, the consensus view is that if you have incandescent light bulbs in your home, that's what you should use. Unfortunately, it's becoming less and less. It's hard, sometimes it can be hard to find them when they're not making them as much, and also, you know, they're not efficient and people don't have them, and it also makes your house hot. So I always like to ask you a trivia question. If you could only have incandescent light bulbs in your house or LED or fluorescent, I'm asking a halachic question, not a energy bill shaila, a climate control shaila. I'm just talking halacha. Not that halacha doesn't care about those things, but halacha question. So I point out, well, the pro of having a fluorescent or LED light is, so worst case scenario, you can't violate Shabbos d'oraisa. What I mean, if a person turns on, even if someone turned on the light but mazed it, he wouldn't violate Shabbos min haTorah. But I'm not even talking about that. Someone who turns on a light but shogeg, so perhaps you might not even need kapara if you're based on a netziva. So if you violate a din d'rabbanan but shogeg, the avera violating a d'rabbanan can be not following the ratzon chachamim. But if I do it by mistake, I'm not going against the chachamim. It was a shogeg. So To avoid Chilul Shabbos, you're much better off. If you don't have any incandescent lights in, you're limiting your risk. Right? You follow that or not? However,
yes.
But if you want to do a positive mitzvah, it doesn't work. Let's not assume. Havdalah, all agree you need an incandescent light bulb. In fact, that was the famous Rav Chaim Ozer Grusinski. Rav Soloveitchik used to visit Rav Chaim Ozer and talk and learning. So I think he was there for Shabbos, and he says he remembers Rav Chaim Ozer Grusinski making Havdalah over an electric bulb. Because back then, that was the whole discussion how electricity worked. There were those who said that perhaps, certainly on Yontif, maybe even on Yontif, you know, but I don't know if they even said it on Shabbos, but there was those opinions that maybe that turning on an electric light is an ish. So he wanted to go away and educate people that, no, look, I'm making Havdalah, you need an ish for Havdalah, and therefore he wanted to teach the people that one cannot turn on an electric incandescent bulb on Shabbos. I mean, or Yontif for that matter also, but Yontif is a further discussion. Even if it isn't incandescent, but if it's, it depends on, do we consider it pre-existing by, you know, when you turn on, that was part of the debate. Today, it's accepted in Orthodox circles that we don't turn on a light on Shabbos or Yontif, but at least, you know, there is what to talk about, there is what to discuss from an academic point of view, and apparently there was a minig among some places, I think that on Yontif they used to turn the lights on. Many think that was erroneous based on they misunderstood electricity. Others want to claim, no, it wasn't erroneous. But be it as it may, I'd say the universal minig is most do not turn on lights, certainly not on Shabbos, and they don't turn it on Yontif either. But either way, that's a separate shiur. But the point being is, Rav Chaim Ozer held an incandescent light bulb is a deraisa, because to fulfill Havdalah, all agreed, Borei Morei Eish, you need an Eish. So therefore, that's to this point. So what about Friday night? Do you need an Eish also? So that's a debate. So I guess those who held that electric lights are no good Friday night, again, I'm assuming then they assumed there wasn't an Eish. Or turning on a light, maybe there's no Maisa, whatever. I'm just making up the reason why. The bottom line is, the post were against electric. I'm saying either they must have been against it because they didn't view it as Eish, or because maybe some other technical reason. So therefore, obviously, according to them, you can't be Yotei Havdalah with it if you didn't think it was an Eish. And also said, if you can't be Yotei Friday night candles with it, you certainly can't be Yotei Saturday night. However, other posts can say, let's assume it's not. In other words, so incandescent light bulb is one shaila. What about using LED or fluorescent lights on Friday night? So I think there are those then, even, let's say, Rav Schechter, who would hold you could use an incandescent light bulb, he'd be against a fluorescent LED. Perhaps he'd say, if you have no option, light it without a bracha, which means he's at least mesupik about it, if he tell you to do that. But other poskim say, no, I have a mesorah in the name of Rav Aaron Cutler, Rav Yitzhak Abadi, I believe Rav Mordechai Willig, I believe Rav Elyashev, I'll quote a name in your backyard, Rav Shlomo Miller right here. They all say that one can use a fluorescent LED light for Friday night. What's the difference? Why would you say it's good? But no one would say you could use it for Saturday night. So the distinction is, because when it comes to Havdalah, it's a din of Eish. You got to light a fire. So incandescent light bulb, that's a fire. So then you could discuss it would be okay. However, that's why I think I still have a halogen in my house to use for, you know, I think that's incandescent. So however, when it comes to Friday night, as getting back to, they say it's not a din in Eish, it's a din in Shalom Bayis. It's a din in light. So we don't care how the light came. If it causes you not to stub your toe, if it creates domestic tranquility, then great. So that's the basis for those who say those who say no, maybe they hold that it's not enough. You still, Shalom Bayis is part of it, but maybe they still hold you need a din of Eish on it. Because in fact, that was a discussion. So Havdalah, everybody agrees you need an Eish. Shabbos, most is incandescent is good. Then you have Yesh Omer and fluorescent. And then you have a further debate on Nir Chanukah. Again, the consensus view is most don't use electric. Most, definitely not L'chatchila, and perhaps not at all. They don't use electric menorahs on Chanukah for different reasons given. However, there are those who are Rav David Cohen, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, that they make a distinction between a battery by Chanukah, this is not by Shabbos, a battery-operated menorah, because they hold the issue is you need zechul or mikdash, and halach, but you need halach, the mitzvah by Chanukah is hadlaka osa mitzvah. So the din of hadlaka osa mitzvah means at the shas hadlaka, I have to have enough, so let's assume you need 30 minutes of oil. So if I just put in every 5 minutes, I poured in another 5 minutes of oil and it lasted 3 hours, it's a no-go. I don't get my mitzvah. Because hadlaka osa mitzvah means at the moment I lit the candle, it had the potential to do the mitzvah. In contrast, I could put in 3 hours of oil, but the candles go out in 2 minutes. And that's not because you put it in front of a windstorm. You didn't do something like, it was a ruach she'enu mitzui, it was something that, so then you yotze. So therefore, they say that if you have a battery-operated menorah, so that's like it's always there. So therefore, there are those who make it on that. And so then, what about a fluorescent? So even, let's say, I asked Rav David Cohen, so what about a fluorescent or LED Chanukah menorah, where most of them are? He said, no, he thought it was. I said, why not? I said, what's it? He said, I forget his question. He said, you need a din of a nair, maybe he said. I don't know if he said a nair. So I felt like saying, yes, so who says this isn't a nair? Anyway, but either way, whatever his svar is, that's what he held. So according to some, again, I haven't confirmed this because, but when I spoke to Rabbi Simon about it, he's not claiming Rav Abadi said this, or at least he didn't know, because I said, what about using your battery light on your iPhone? I'm just, whatever. So someone, you can ask questions to Rav Abadi by email. It's not Rav Abadi the father. You send it to the kids. The different kids, different cheetahs, but he showed me the thread. Somebody asked them, and he said it's okay, which is a big chiddush. I'm saying it's a big chiddush because no one else says it. Not that it's necessarily wrong. So I'm just saying, al pi svara, if you assume that a fluorescent light works by Nir Chanukah, so you're assuming, what do you have to say? What I'm saying this is, it's a din in persumi nisa. It's like saying it's a din in shal. In words, to me, this is my svara. If you're going to hold Friday night is good, you have to say it's not a din in a nair. It's not a din in having a fire, a nair. It's a din in shalom bayis. And therefore, as long as you have light. So by nir Chanukah, if you hold from the shita, that fluorescent, so therefore you argue, well, it's persumi nisa. Who cares? If I'm doing persumi nisa, and in fact I could argue then electric might be better, assuming you have it outside on your house because people see it more. But I'm assuming you'd have to argue it's a din in persumi nisa, not a din in nair or aish or whatever you want to call it. So that's the issue by electric. So by incandescent, Friday night, it's pretty accepted. By Havdalah, it's pretty accepted. And by Chanukah, most nothing's, the accepted view is basically no electric, unless perhaps battery. And then, there might be a minority view that says fluorescent, but so fluorescent, So Friday night, you have more. Again, you have enough Gedolim, enough post-Kim. Again, I don't know what the consensus view is, but enough that I would tell, enough for me that I tell someone they can make a bracha on it. If they were stuck in the hospital, then based on all the post-Kim I quoted, I'd be comfortable with them to rely on them, that they can make a bracha even on that. So, and that's a further, you know, then Hanukkah would be a further discussion. But I'm just giving the svara. If it is true, so then you have to argue it's a presuming nisa din, not a din in. If it's a din in aish, then fluorescent should never work, or LED. If fluorescent or LED are working, you have to say it's a din in something else. Shalom bayis, presuming nisa by havdala, bore more aish. It's all about the aish. There is no argument. So either you have to argue fluorescent is an aish, which I don't think anyone argues, or else you can't use it. And just to conclude, there's a, you know, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, he was known for his great Shalom Bayis. And in fact, the minhag in Yerushalayim is that before you do, or at the eulogy, before you maspid someone, you ask mechila, you ask forgiveness. So I think they say the Maisa was, so when he was about to eulogize his wife, he said, I know the minig is to ask Mechila, but since I've never harmed you in any way, I don't know if he still did or he didn't. I'm not sure we should get chizik from that or go into depression, because who could say again, that they haven't said one thing ever, like saying something you shouldn't have, you know, I don't think anyone can. I trust Rav Shlomo Zalman, he didn't, or maybe if you're some tzaddik, you said, oh, but most people, that you know, it's hard to believe you never got into any disagreement. You said some, not that disagreements are okay. That's not, it's okay to disagree. No one, but you know, on the way you say things or, you know, whatever, different things happen, however it is. So they say a maaser, Rav Shlomo Zalman was on his way home, I guess, I don't know, you have to shear one day, so the students used to walk him home. Maybe just to, that he shouldn't be all going home alone, or just to pump him with shilas as they walk home. So when he got to the door, he started fixing his tie, his jacket, his hat. They said, Rebbe, what are you doing? You're expecting guests in your house? Like it's your own home. He says, yeah, I am. Because Chazal tell us, when there's Sholem ben Ish l'Ishto, or not only Ish v'Ishto, when the Sholem, when there's Shalom Bayis in the home, among family members, anyone, so then the Shechina is Shora, the Divine Presence dwells there. But when there's Machlokes, God runs quickly. That's Mechikas Hashem. So if you want God's presence in your home, you have to work on Shalom Bayis. And if you, by fighting, you're not only doing Shalom Bayis, but you you're not literally doing Mechikas Hashem, but you're throwing God out of your home. So that's the Yisoh we see by Friday night. Besides the different Yonah, we have the Ramban about the special value of Sholem Bayis, about the only mitzvah which involves a nace. We have the Gemara where Ner Shabbos wins over Yayin for Kiddush. And we see perhaps the Din in Sholem Bayis also could be a Kula. See, actually it's a Kula and a Chumra. It's a Din in Sholem Bayis. So if I don't have I'm going to light nothing? So no, you light fluorescent LED because in fact, Sholem Bayis is a cool in the sense I'm even letting you light and with a bracha because it's a din in Sholem Bayis, not a din in Ish. And to conclude, that's what they say over, I think I heard it first in the name of Rabbi Fran the first time, but they say over by mezuzahs, well this, not this part, this is the Gemara, this is the other, this is the poskim that they bring down. That we know there's a machlokas in the Gemara whether you put up a mezuzah vertical or horizontal. In fact, it is a discussion not only for mezuzah, by Sifrei Torah, Tefillin. However, by the other ones we resolve. Only by mezuzah we reach a compromise, at least minig Ashkenaz, we put it on a slant. So the shaila is, why dafka by mezuzah we compromise? I mean, usually, you know, we have machlokas on every dafka Gemara. We usually pass in the Shaila. Why dafka by mezuzah do we go with the compromise? So the Balei Machshava explain is because what's the first thing you do when you walk into a Jewish home? What do you see, hopefully? You see a mezuzah. So you walk in, you see it's not vertical, it's not horizontal. The first thing you got to realize is it can't be my way or the highway. You can't be too rigid. You have to say, okay, I have to compromise. As we say in Shmoneh Esrei, we take three steps back. Oseh shalom bimromav. Hopefully it's the bracha of shalom. In order to make shalom, sometimes you got to take three steps back. Hopefully it's four or five steps forward and only three steps back. But that's the concept of shalom bayis and the mezuzah and the meisota and lighting Shabbos candles, the yisod of the machshava yisod of shalom bayis, as well as the halachic yisod of shalom bayis, and they go hand in hand.